This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody at 520 we'll have on with us Jim Derry, writer, columnist for The Advocate, host of Datatube Podcast. We'll be talking Saints, free agency, NFL draft. Charlie brought it up in the news flash about DK Metcalf, and we've had some people ask about, you know, what will happen with DK. He's got 1 year left on a contract that's paying him $18 million a year. Now, if I'm trading for DK, I know I'm going to have to get an extension for him. And so, man, $18 million today for a top receiver, that's not real high.
Nope.
So DK is going to want to be bumped up a bit. So I do think there'll be more than a couple suitors for DK Metcalf, a big man who can get downfield and he can flat out fly. So he couldn't come to terms with Seattle, so they'll have a new receiving core with Kenny Pickett being released. But DK does have one more year left on his contract at $18 million. So anybody that wants to trade for him, you would probably want to do an extension before you make that deal. Last night we saw, even though, man, the Lakers kicked the Pels around a bit, we saw just how good Zion was. 37 points, and it's sort of jaw-dropping. He didn't get a lot of help from, you know, different guys on the team, but still, Trey Murphy, I think, had 19. I think he was the second leading scorer, but man, Zion, when he was in the lineup, Charlie, you just sort of, this is why you see the talent in him. Now, you wish he could stay healthy, he could play a full game, play a full season, but what he does out on the court, very few guys can do what he can.
So I want to save the stat about plus-minus for triple option because it's pretty jaw-dropping. Mike, Zion last night in a game that had LeBron James and Luka Doncic was the best player on the floor, and I don't think it was really close. I want to slam Nico Harrison real quick. I know that everyone else in the world already has, but what was that dude thinking? He just gave the Lakers a top three player entering his prime. Luka Doncic and LeBron James, Mike, they combined for 64 points, 16 rebounds, and 21 assists in the 136-115 victory over the Pelicans last night. And once again, I think Zion outplayed both of them. He was unstoppable last night. He was a runaway freight train. and he got everything he wanted. He shot 17 of 23 last night, Mike.
That is really
What's really blows my mind, though, is that he still doesn't get a respectable whistle. You see, and I know you like OKC, Mike, you see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander take 10 free throws a night for little tiny bumps. If you breathe on the guy, he's at the free throw line the next second. Zion Williamson was getting hammered all night long because they have no one that's big enough or physical enough to defend him on that Lakers team. Their size is their biggest issue. And I played the highlight. He baptized Trey Jemison last night in a crazy dunk. But everything he wanted in the paint, he got it. He shot 17 of 23 and scored 37 points with only 6 free throw attempts in 26 minutes of game action, Mike. So also other numbers, 6 assists, 4 boards, 0 turnovers. Every single time that he was on the floor, he was looking for his shot, and he was aggressive last night, Mike. I think he knew that it was a step up in competition playing the Lakers.
All eyes on him.
Yeah. I mean, you heard the oohs and ahs when he threw down that thunderous left-handed jam over Jemison. He stunned the crypto.com crowd. So, you know, listen, I understand the frustration with Zion. I'm frustrated with him, too, from time to time with, you know, the injuries and the lack of games played. But at the same time, like, you just see these flashes from him. We saw it last week as well. But last
night's game, best player on the court, no matter who else is out there.
This is my point, Mike, and it's exactly what you just said. In a game that featured LeBron James and Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson was the best player on the floor. I don't care that the Pelicans lost by 21 points. In those minutes that he was playing, 26 minutes, they were plus 13. So, once again, I'll share those numbers later on in Triple Option about how bad the rest of the team played against the Lakers. But
it wasn't good.
No, I mean, at this point, you know, you're looking more towards the NBA lottery and, you know, the draft in 2025, and we'll see how many lottery balls they can end up collecting. But it's nice to see still these flashes from Zion. I included the bite in the flash as well, Mike, where he said, quote, "It's very frustrating at times, but stay forward. I know who I am. I know what I can do. I know it's frustrating, especially for New Orleans fans when I'm out. For me, it's just stay forward and trust who I am." I think Zion also realizes at this point, you know, 17 and 45, this is what this team is at this point of the season. You know, just make sure he doesn't get injured at the end of the year and you can come back and run it back in 2025-26.
You can't have worse luck.
No.
Injury-wise, there's no way.
No.
I'm not sure who's if this is Kenny Pickett's agent that keeps posting online at 1082. Go get Kenny Pickett for the Saints. I'll tell you a story. Last year, Mickey Loomis did try to trade for Kenny Pickett, but the Steelers decided to deal him to Philly instead. He became Jalen Hurts' backup. But the Saints really liked Kenny Pickett coming out of college, really did. And I think he was in that kind of long list of guys that they were looking at as a possible first-round pick. I don't know if it's his agent, this guy. But, man, Kenny Pickett, the Saints did try to make a deal for him last year. But at that point, the Steelers decided to deal him and not send him too far away and send him to Philly.
So in another text that we got in here, Mike, asking about what's your chance in the lottery to get Zion some help from 0101. Right now, the Pelicans, with their 17-45 record, have the fourth worst record in the NBA. Unfortunately, that takes them out of the top three, where if you finish with a top three worst record, you have a 14% chance to get the number one overall pick, 13.4 to get to number two, 12.7 to get to number three, and 12 to get to number four. It's a heavy, heavy difference when you drop down because, you know, it all kind of changes a little bit, Mike. Where they are currently at pick four, or the fourth worst odds, it's a 12.5% chance to get number one, a 12.2 to get pick number two, 11.9 at number three, 11.5 at pick four. And then you can go as low as pick eight when you have the fourth worst odds. If you have the worst record in the NBA, the lowest you can go is five, second worst is six, third worst is seven, and it kind of ladders down.
And we saw
the
Pistons. You know, they finish so badly. And how many times did they get, like, the fifth pick or the fourth pick?
Happened a couple times, Mike.
Yeah. Now, so the more lottery balls you get, yeah, that does give you better odds, but it doesn't mean you're going
to
win.
No, exactly. Last year, the Hawks had, like, the ninth best odds,
yeah,
and they made it all the way to the number one overall pick. So it doesn't guarantee anything. But at the same time, I think by the end of the season, the issue is that Washington, Charlotte, and Utah are the teams that you're behind. And you've already taken 3 of 3 from Utah, so they've out-tanked you. And then Charlotte is going nowhere. They're getting drummed every single night. Washington, same kind of thing. The Pelicans, I think their ceiling would probably be the third if they can somehow leapfrog Utah. But it kind of feels like those top three are almost locked in, Mike, at this point. We'll see where they end up. I don't think their floor is that bad, though. Like, I don't think they'll go past 5 or 6, generally speaking, unless they really turn it on at the end of the season. But I think they'll be generally in that range where the lowest pick they could potentially end up with is around 7 or 8.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Jim Derry, writer, columnist for The Advocate, and host of Datitude Podcast, talking Saints, free agency, NFL draft, right after this break on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, writer, columnist for The Advocate, host of the Datitude Podcast, Jim Derry. Jim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, glad to be with you here from beautiful Foley, Alabama this afternoon.
Hey, what you doing in Foley, man? You coordinating over there?
We're having a two-day break or so. We're having a two-day break. Just getting away after Mardi Gras. We left this morning. We're coming over to do a couple things and, you know, just have a little fun.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
getting
that's
away from the madness.
I get you. Jim, there's so many holes on this Saints football team. You could kind of check off every position across the board. But I do think that even though I think all of us sort of knew that they got to rebuild offensive defensive line, that Super Bowl Sunday brought it into the forefront. That's how the Eagles won. They beat up the Chiefs up front across the offensive and defensive line. And maybe the best quarterback, or not maybe, the best quarterback in pro football, he was a mere mortal going up against that defensive line.
He sure was. Mike, and I tell you, I think maybe Kellen Moore standing on the sideline and being able to watch a little bit, I think maybe that that proved a little something right there.
The other thing, Jim, is that we saw the first of the moves in the release of Jamal Williams. We never saw anything close to the player we saw with the Lions.
No.
And he was supposed to be your power back, the inside guy, the guy that short yardage, goal line. That never really kind of shaped up here in New Orleans. Charlie and I have talked about this, and I'm a big believer. We've had other people on court too. I think in this draft class that's so loaded at running back, and you don't have to pick one in round one or round two, but you got to get a couple backs coming out of this draft, young backs, because Alvin Kamara's not getting younger, okay? And so you got to build up some depth, and you don't know anything about Kendra Miller right now. You know he's not playing a lot, but other than that, right, you really don't know anything else.
Well, you know, you and I have been talking about this for months, and I think it kind of goes, it flies under the radar a little bit on how important this position is right now. And I know you and I didn't necessarily agree on the quarterback spot and what they should do there and why, but I think we agreed on pretty much everything else. And I think that at running back, there's no question that the Saints have to go and get at least one. Like you said, I don't think either one of us is surprised that Jamal Williams is not going to be a part of this team going forward. And Ed just said Alvin Kamara turning 30 in July. And, you know, I think Kendra Miller is going to probably get every chance he can get, but that doesn't mean anything because I think he's had chances already. I mean, can he stay healthy is the biggest question, because I think when he's healthy, he may be able to be something. But there's no question the Saints have to go into this draft, and that's why, you know, I think people with high hopes of maybe drafting a quarterback later or whatever, I just don't see them wasting a pick on that, because I agree with you. I think at least one running back taken in this draft. They're probably going to have to take a wide receiver in this draft as well later on. So if the first two picks are in the trenches, then you know after that you go on skill players. That's my opinion, and I just think that that's where they need to go. And I think third, fourth round, I think you're looking at running back and wide receiver in those spots.
Chris, the other thing too is I'm a big believer in when you have a deep draft like we see at running back and also defensive line. 24 right. of my top 75 players are defensive linemen. I would double down on that because, you know, if you're going to go to a 3-4 defense, one, you don't really have a true nose tackle on this team. The other thing, too, is to have you an edge rusher as a 3-4 defensive end. Now, maybe they think Chase Young can be that guy if they can come to terms with him, and he would fit the build of a guy that you could use as a 4-3 defensive end or a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker. And it's all sort of hybrid anyway. But I do think in this draft class, to get defensive linemen in a deep class, it's imperative. You not only get one, but you get two.
Yeah, I think that absolutely. I mean, there's no question. And, again, this is another thing that you and I have been talking about. So this is why I think that it's important to go offensive line in the first round, because, like you say, having so many quality defensive linemen early in the draft, I think second round is the perfect spot to go, or better yet even, maybe you trade down and get an extra first or second round pick and maybe get two of them in there, because you can't have enough of those guys, especially on offensive line. I mean, the Saints going to be in the same position they were last year, and you're one Eric McCoy injury away from sheer disaster and from 5-12, because to me it wasn't just Derek Carr, and I talked about this with you in August and September and even before that. I mean, this team is literally one starting offensive lineman away from just disaster, because they have no depth whatsoever. So if they want to trade down and get an extra early pick, I think that would be great to get a couple offensive linemen, get a couple of defensive linemen whenever you can up top. But you're right about the defensive linemen being deep, offensive line not as deep. So I think that's why it's going to be important for this team, if they don't trade down, to get an offensive line with that ninth pick.
Jim, you think about it, this team has not really kind of made a living picking LSU players.
No.
But
Will Campbell time?
But is it Will Campbell time if he's on the board at 9?
You know, I got to say, the answer is yes. However, that being said, you know, it's scary that I'm not as sure about Will Campbell as I was at the same time last year. I mean, I thought last year going into the season, I thought he was going to be the most dominant left tackle in college football, and he wasn't. He had his issues with penalties and he just didn't look as dominant as I thought he would be. But that being said, I think there's no question that if he's there at nine, I think that you do go out there and you take a chance. And I think that Kellen Moore, look, you talked about the things we've seen from Kellen Moore and what he's been looking at. There's no doubt he knows that he needs to build in the trenches, and that's why the Eagles won. And I think he's going to go out there and do that, which is why I think Derek Carr is going to be here for at least one more year and probably two, in my opinion, even though people don't want to hear that.
Yeah, because finances on a terrible contract, you almost trapped now. You kind of caught in this stage. It's not what I would do. You got to get fiscally set on this football team, and I think that that's something that is going to bite them for the next 2 years.
Well, I think it's not just that. It's not just Carr, and people can blame it on Carr, and it is partly the contract with Carr. But look at these other contracts, Mike.
Yes,
I mean, you talk about I love Cam Jordan to death, but I mean, look what they're on the hook for if he doesn't want to take a pay cut. And Demario Davis and Tyrann Mathieu, they kicked the can on Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, Cat Terrell had a great article today on ESPN about what the Saints could do and things she forecast to see that could get the Saints under the cap. But that's just this year. So, I mean, next year, it won't be as bad next year. I mean, they'd have to really kick a can to make it as bad as it is this year. I mean, it's bad this year as I think any team has ever seen. That's how bad it is.
I want to see how they restructure Carr's deal. I want to see the devil in the details there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be to where you're talking about $25-30 million taken out, which you're going to have to spread out, and that means you're going to go into next year. And if you decide not to go with him, if it doesn't, you're almost hoping it works out. Even if you don't like Derek Carr, you're hoping it works out. Why? Because if it doesn't work out and you got to get rid of him next year, you're talking about going in next year with him having a $45-50 million dead cap hit again. So it doesn't get any better with that. Now the whole cap situation as a whole gets better next year, but Derek Carr's situation doesn't get better. Assuming you restructure the way where it's palatable and it's going to help you enough this year to make a difference. So it could be $50 million again next year.
Jim, you mentioned trading back, and I think Mike and I kind of agree that it wouldn't be the worst decision in the world. Mickey Loomis never does it, so I kind of have my doubts. But if you do, in fact, trade back, I think there's a prospect that we're both kind of eyeing, and it's you. When you're making the shift to the 3-4 defense, we talked with Scott Shanley about this, you need premium outside linebackers, but you also need the space-eating nose tackle. And the Saints don't have one of those on their defensive line. And Kenneth Grant from Michigan is one of those guys. Now, you can't trade too far back, especially because when you get into the early 20s, you know, someone's very familiar with them in Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers at 22. But if you decide, okay, let's move back in the first round a couple picks into the teens where a team could potentially hop the Bears, for instance, for an offensive lineman if one falls to pick 9, then, you know, you can pick up an extra second-round pick, maybe some extra picks later on. And then you can get someone like Kenneth Grant and find that nose tackle that you're desperately missing for a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, and why that makes even more sense, because I think if you do it right, you could even potentially get a first-rounder for next year out of the deal. And let's all be honest here. I don't think any of us thinks that this team is going to be, you know, at best, you're talking about a team that might contend for the NFC South and be 8-9/9-8. That's the best-case scenario, right? So what you're talking about doing, if you could somehow get a first-round pick out of it for the following year, an extra pick, and have two first-round picks in the 26th draft, when that quarterback draft is loaded, there are some other spots you need that could be loaded as well. I think that is an excellent move. I really think that's the way. If I had my druthers, that's exactly what I would do. I would drop down into the teens, like you're talking about. 5, 6, 7 spots could make a world of the difference and get you – you know, like you say, and maybe an extra second rounder this year and potentially, possibly, an extra first rounder at some point in the future, which they're going to need because this is not a one-year process that you're talking about. So I think that's the way to go, in my opinion.
Jim, you look at what Tampa Bay has done, and they're kind of the scary team in the NFC South. They've got every draft choice over the last 3 years still on the roster. You talk about hitting on drafts. They got it. But they got themselves out of a bad cap situation, and they were all chips in. I get it. With Tom Brady, and, you know, you spent a lot of money in Ndamukong Suh, on Leonard Fournette. You can kind of go on and on. It was a veteran football team, Gronk on that team also. But then they were able to rebuild that team via the draft. They used free agency a little bit, but it was really – through the NFL draft, that's the team to watch. Because if you did that with no money, What are you going to do? Now, you got a little bit of money this year, but next year you got a lot of money. So the Bucks have really kind of drawn a blueprint up of how you can do it when you're in a bad cap situation. And they were in a bad cap spot because of them trying to get older and win a championship, which they did win. They did win a Super Bowl. But I think that's the team to watch in the NFC South.
You know, you talk about that, and I've actually read multiple publications over the past few weeks. I've read they're kind of going through the past five drafts, and all of them have Tampa Bay not only in the top 10, but a couple of them have them in the top five overall over the last couple of years. So you combine that with getting so super lucky with Baker Mayfield, because I don't think we could talk about Baker Mayfield all day long, but I don't think any of us thought that he would turn out to be what he's turned out to be two straight years for their team. So they kind of struck gold there with that contract as well. Now we'll see what happens going forward, but you're right. Tampa Bay is the one to me to look out for. They've won four in a row now after the Saints won four in a row. And would it shock anybody if they won the next two in a row? Or maybe even beyond that. But they are absolutely building their team. And I don't think there's any question right now is with all the talent that Atlanta has, I still think that Tampa Bay is going to be the team to beat even next year. Going and maybe going forward, as you talk about. So, yeah, they're the model to look at, and they're the model that the Saints should say, well, how did they do it? Maybe we should do it like that, for sure.
And, Jim, Mike and I talk about it all the time, building through the strengths of a draft. We already mentioned the running back class, potentially taking two running backs this year. We talked about defensive line. But also one of the underrated kind of deep positions in this draft class is tight end. And I know that the Saints have been connected with Tyler Warren kind of early on if they take him at the top half of the first round of the draft. But behind him, like Colson Loveland's a really solid prospect that's going to be a first-round pick in all likelihood, another potential trade-down option if you move down in the draft. But also some day two guys. And someone that Mike thinks may slip into the back end of round one from LSU, Mason Taylor, is a potential option for them at pick 40 in the second round. It's a position that, Jim, I think we all agree they've kind of ignored in recent years, and I think it's about time that they stop doing that.
I think that you're partly right, in my opinion. I do think that it's an important position with this team and with Kellen Moore's offense. However, if you look at what they did, Dallas Goedert was hurt for half the year last year, and they still were just fine when he wasn't playing. I don't know that it's something that you have to do right now, because I don't know where it is on the priority list. Even though there aren't, it's not a great position for the Saints, I think there's so many other important spots. I just don't think this is a team that can just say, okay, Tyler Warren's the best player available when we draft at nine, because he may be or whatever, and go for him. But I think that this team really needs to dig in the trenches. If they don't go in the trench, if they don't trade down and go in the trenches, I just don't think it's the right move for this team, unless you're talking about some kind of generational talent at running back like you can't pass up on, if they think that an Ashton Jeanty is that kind of guy, which I don't necessarily think he is, but at least I could understand it if they went in that direction. I just don't think the tight end you can go in that direction. Even in the second round, you talk about Mason Taylor and possibly. I just think there are too many other needs for this team that they have to build up first. Maybe tight end something you look at next year.
Yeah, offensive line is an interesting need as well, because you have your left tackle of the future in Taliese Fuaga. I don't know about right tackle with Trevor Penning. You're not picking up his option because you'd have to pay him too much money. In my first mock, Jim, I had them taking Armand Membu at pick 9 overall. Mm-hmm. I don't even know after his combine performance, you know, he's going to be a top 10 pick. I'm not sure if he's going to be gone by pick 9 for the Saints, but it feels like the tackle class is a little bit, it doesn't have as much depth as years past, especially last year, where the tackles were awesome, especially at the top of the first round. But if you're going to take an offensive tackle, that could be an option for the Saints early on, but you better probably use that first round pick on it.
Yeah, I think you really have to. And you said the Saints have really been unlucky when they're talking about potentially drafting tackles. And even last year, Fuaga, I don't think, was necessarily the guy that they wanted, but it was the guy that fell into their lap, and they kind of had to draft him because of the people who went before him. And all the tackles, you talk about how loaded that draft was last year with tackle. Well, they all went before the Saints picked, except for Fuaga, and they kind of had to pick him there. This year, I don't know what it's going to be like before. It's not nearly as deep as you talked about. But so if they get a chance to, that's another reason why I think it's so important, going back to the first question that we talked about. That's why, as much as they need a defensive lineman, and if they are going to switch to the 3-4, obviously how important that is. But I just think that's something that there's no question in my mind. And I know some people don't agree with me. There's no question in my mind that offensive line is the most important position that this team needs to address right now. And I think that they really need to do that in the first round. And look, I think Kellen Moore is the kind of guy, you're talking about an offensive-minded coach. What did Sean Payton do when he first got here? The first thing he started doing was, besides Drew Brees, obviously, was build up his offensive line. And we saw how quickly that paid dividends, and I think it can be the same here. If the Saints can build up their offensive line, I think Derek Carr is at least good enough to bridge them into the future without us having to go through 5-12 seasons again for the next 3 years.
It's all about talent depth along the offensive line, because you're going to have injuries happen there. Last question for you, Jim. Man, you hear all this horse hockey stuff about, man, quarterbacks falling in the draft. Come on. I don't know who's putting all that out, but come on. This is a league built around quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders is not falling to the 18th pick in the draft.
No chance.
But, man, they got people running with that all over. And I've told this to Charlie. I've been through this so many times. You always figure out who's running with this because it helps their guy. I guarantee it as an agent who's got a quarterback that he thinks can maybe move up a little bit. So he starts spreading the rumors. But you can see where out of the top three or four players, two of them are going to be quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, no matter how you cut it.
Oh, I think there's no doubt that that's the case. And if you remember, Mike, I mean, that's what Sean Payton was best at. He was best at throwing out all these rumors, especially like 2 weeks before the draft and 3 weeks before the draft, saying the Saints, getting somebody out there was saying the Saints want this guy, the Saints want that guy. And the Saints had no interest in whatever because it was open his guy would fall to him. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But there's no question that those two guys, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, are not lasting past to get to the Saints, for sure. They might not go necessarily go 1-2, but they're not dropping to 9. There's no question about that. So, and again, although the Saints need a quarterback, it'd be great to draft one, but you got to have patience. And to me, 26, there's just so many options. Even if you end up being mediocre and you have a draft pick that's in the 15, 16, 17 range, you're still going to be able to get a really good quarterback, in my opinion, in the 2026 draft.
Jim, Sean Payton was a really good liar about information.
Yes, he was.
I'll be honest with you. He was a rank amateur compared to Jim Hazelate. Man, Jim, and he would laugh about it. Man, I told this reporter this and this, and he would get a kick out of it that they would write it or go on the air with it. And he thought that was all so funny. Man, but listen, Sean ain't got nothing on Jim Haslett. I guarantee you.
Easier to do in the days before social media, my friend.
That's it. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Enjoy your time in Alabama, buddy.
Talk to you guys later. Thanks for the time.
All righty. Jim Derry does a great job. Writer, columnist for The Advocate, and also host of Datitude Podcast. When we come back, be our triple option feature along with Charlie and Jeff, myself, giving you some info right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Jeff Nowak and also Charlie Long. We've had some text about the lineup tonight as LSU plays North Dakota State. William Smith will start on the mound. Josh Pearson returns to the other as the designated hitter, and same as outfield as yesterday. And Tanner Reeves starts again at third base. So William Smith gets the nod tonight as the starting pitcher for the Tigers. Jeff?
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Let's go. Okay. So, you know, we're into draft season. Everyone's going to start talking about Ashton Jeanty. Is he worth a top 10 pick? And so what I like to do is go look up at NFL history and say, okay, when was the last time a top 10 running back won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them? Well, Mike, I'll let you go first. Can you guess? Can you guess?
Before you threw to the team that drafted him, it would have been easy because it's Saquon, but he wasn't drafted.
There's been multiple running backs that have won Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Top 10 running backs. Saquon Barkley. Leonard Fournette.
But with the same team that drafted him.
And that's what we're talking about. If you're the Saints drafting Ashton Jeanty, I don't want to be the team that develops a running back to win with a different team 5 years from now. That's what the Falcons are in the process of doing. I don't want to be that. So can you get any guesses?
Reggie is my guess.
You're right. The last top 10 running back to win a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them is Reggie Bush, who was drafted in 2006, number two overall. Now, there have been a lot of top 10 running backs. You can talk about Trent Richardson. Todd Gurley's the only one that got there. They lost
Todd did.
To the Patriots. Ezekiel Elliott.
I thought about Todd, but I wasn't sure if he had
If they had won, he would have been the answer to that trivia question. They did not win. But, I mean, you're talking about Adrian Peterson, Darren McFadden. You know, they're good players. But the question is value. And that's where I have a hard time getting to it. Like, it's not a coincidence that you see these teams, these bad teams, draft running backs, and now you're a bad team with a great running back. Now, if you're a good team and you add a great running back, you become a Super Bowl champion, like, you know, the Eagles or the Bucks. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting note.
Yeah, it's an interesting twist to it. Boy, that 2006 season, they didn't win it that year. But I always told Coach Payton, that's the best coaching job he ever did. Man, that Reggie and a healthy Deuce McAllister.
Right.
On that football team. And, man, Drew there. Zach Strief always tells the story. For the first training camp and into game three of the exhibition season, Drew hadn't thrown a football more than 20 yards. And he said, man, all of us were saying, is he going to be able to throw the ball? Because if we know it, everybody else is going to know it. So he said, fourth preseason, Drew launches one about 35 yards. question answered. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with Zion's performance. I kind of teased this in the first segment, Mike, that we did this hour. The 37 points on 17 of 23 shooting, plus 13 in a 21-point loss. Zion played 26 minutes and 10 seconds last night, guys. That has the rest of the team in the 22 minutes that they played, minus 34. It was terrible last night for the Pelicans. I know, you know, LeBron and Luka, the star power there. I still think Zion was the best player on the floor last night. And so, you know, I will slam Nico Harrison as much as I need to because it was a terrible trade. And it was a terrible trade from the time it was made. When everyone's questioning if your account got hacked, Shams Charania, one of the most trustworthy NBA reporters out there, you know it's a bad trade. But Zion Williamson, once again, went plus 13 in 26 minutes in a 21-point loss. He was the best player on the floor when he was out there.
When that trade came down, you and I texted one another quickly, and I had to look it up to make sure that somebody may not messed with his account a little bit, because man, I couldn't believe that you didn't get more back in that deal.
The Lakers didn't have much back to give him. Like, they didn't have a boatload of first-round picks available. They gave him one.
One of two.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it was a disaster.
I'm going to answer this text question because I had a little bit of it already. Is New Orleans trying to get the NFL draft here? They are. Now, here's the thing. If this NFL season goes to 18 games, I think it'll push the draft into May, which would push it a little bit out of basically Jazz Fest time, right? Because you can't do it at the same time. They don't have enough hotel rooms to have it here. But if the draft gets pushed back and the 18-game season is a reality, it's not if it's going to happen, it's when, then I think New Orleans is going to be a major player to get the NFL draft here in this city. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak, also Charlie Long. And Jeff, at 6:20, you have Kat Terrell come on. And certainly I think we know the group of players, Cesar Ruiz, Carl Granderson. They got to go to the bank of Carr at this stage. It looks as though they've made that deal up along with Eric McCoy to redo this cap to get you under the salary cap limit.
Oh, no question. Yeah. It really, you know, you can get there in four moves, and they're the ones you mentioned. Now, the question is, can you get someone to take a pay cut along the way? And that'll
good luck.
That'll make things a little easier. Really, the only two options are, well, three if you include Carr. He said he wouldn't. I think he could work it out. Cam Jordan, Taysom Hill, really the only two options. So, yeah, they're going to get there. It's just a question of how.
Yeah, and, man, we've had some of them. Well, just don't get under the cap. No, you got to get under the cap. You know what happens to you? They fine you. They steal draft choices away from you. They stop you from being in free agency. No, you can't pull that stunt. This ain't the bank. No, these other 31 owners, man, you better get under that salary cap. And I know Charlie and I talked about the offensive tackle position, and certainly with Will Campbell and Mimbo, you're talking about two guys that are going the top 12 selections. Kelvin Banks, I think, will go right after that. It's going to be on the back end. This offensive tackle class is not nearly as good as a year ago. What happens Josh Simmons from Ohio State medically, and also Connolly from Oregon. Do they sneak into the back part of round one? We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.